This is John Cargo from the town of Caro, New York. I'm the president of the Caro Historical Society, and you're listening to WGXC Acura 90.7 FM Hands-On Radio.
All together now, the 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday newscast for Greene and Columbia Counties is looking for contributors. Are you a retired weather expert? Have you always wanted to cover high school sports? Do you attend your own town meetings regularly and possess a cell phone? Then you could be a contributor to All Together Now. Send your idea for a regular segment or tell us if you would like to cover a specific beat. And WGXC can share technological skills, sunshine laws, and helpful hints to help report on your community.
Devant ma porte prétend printemps et jeune premier.
Comme s'il en pleuvait.
Nuée de diamants, poèmes posés sur mon chevet.
Comme s'il en pleuvait.
Des présents chaque jour.
Comme s'il en pleuvait.
De l'amour.
Comme s'il en pleuvait.
À toi qui me vois mignonne. Main tendue, genou fange. Ne prends pas garde à ma mise. Et sur leurs joues on frange. Jadis ici j'étais reine. Et les yeux de ces messieurs sur mon aimable personne se perdent et cela t'étonne. Laïa laïa, rose trémière et joli cœur les soirs de première.
Comme s'il en pleuvait.
Nuée de diamants, poèmes posés sur mon chevet.
Comme s'il en pleuvait.
Des soupirants et des atours en décédé si tu savais.
Comme s'il en pleuvait.
Des présents chaque jour.
Comme s'il en pleuvait.
De l'amour.
Comme s'il en pleuvait.
La lune, mignonne, tout m'était dû. Par un revers de fortune, voilà que j'ai tout perdu. De mémoire d'un mot d'apôtre, qui saurait dire à présent que naguère comme nul autre, je fascinais le tout venant. Aïa, aïa, mots doux et billets de rigueur, intrigues enflammées.
Comme s'il en pleuvait.
Devant ma porte, prétendants et jeunes premiers.
Comme s'il en pleuvait.
Des soupirants et des atours en décédés si tu savais.
Comme s'il en pleuvait.
Des présents chaque jour, plus que 10 doigts n'en seraient compte.
Comme s'il en pleuvait.
La providence et la jeunesse ne durent jamais, ça je l'ai appris à mes dépens. Donne à présent de quoi manger, mignonne. Gagne ton ciel et me sois bonne. Ma jouvencelle, ma mignonne. La providence et la jeunesse ne durent jamais. Ça, je l'ai appris à mes dépens. Donne à présent de quoi manger, mignonne. Gagne ton ciel et me sois bonne. Ma jouvencelle, ma mignonne.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson. Listener-supported hands-on radio for Greene and Columbia counties. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Fahim. I'm 13 years old, and I'm also from Hudson. I'm sorry.
It's all right. And we're here every Monday from 3:30 to 4, talking about books.
Books we love. Sometimes
books we love even more.
Yes.
And sometimes books we don't like as much. And sometimes some other things. We're usually here with our friends, Mashuda and Amelia. But with the Labor Day holiday, they're off today.
Yes.
But we are here. So we're going to talk about some books. And also share with you a poem. Because we like poems here too.
Yeah.
We like literary things in general. The written word, spoken word.
The poem is called Drum Dream Girl by Margarita Engel. On an island of music in a city of drumbeats, the drum dream girl dreamed of pounding tall conga drums, tapping small bongo drums as boom, boom, booming with long, loud sticks on bit round, silvery, moon-bright timbales. But everyone on the island of music in the city of drumbeats believed that only boys should play drums. So the drum dream girl had to keep dreaming quiet, secret drumbeat dreams. At outdoor cafes that looked like gardens, she heard drums played by men, but when she closed her eyes, she could also hear her own imaginary music. When she walked under wind-wavy palm trees in a flower-bright park, she heard the whir of parrot's wings, the clack of woodpecker beaks, the dancing tap of her own footsteps, and the comforting pat of her own heartbeat. At carnivals, she listened to the rattling beat of towering dancers on stilts, and the dragon dang of costumed drummers wearing huge masks. At home, her fingertips rolled out their own dreamy drum rhythm on tables and chairs. And even though everyone kept reminding her the girls on the island of music have never played drums, the brave drum dream girl dared to play tall conga drums, small bongo drums, and big round silvery moon-bright timbales. Her hands seemed to fly as they rippled, rapped, and pounded all the rhythms of her drum dreams. Her big sisters were so excited that they invited her to join their new all-girl dance band. But their father said only boys should play drums. So the drum dream girl had to keep dreaming and drumming alone, until finally her father offered to find a music teacher who could decide if her drums deserved to be heard. The drum dream girl's teacher was amazed. The girl knew so much but she taught her more and more and more. And she practiced and she practiced and she practiced, until the teacher agreed that she was ready to play her small bongo drums outside at a starlit cafe that looked like a garden, where everyone who heard her dream bright music sang and danced and decided that girls should always be allowed to play drums, and both girls and boys should feel free to dream. That's the poem.
Yay. That poem is based on a true story of a young girl named Mio Castro Zaldarriaga, who was a Chinese African Cuban girl who sort of broke the tradition of like girls not being able to play the drums or being allowed to play the drums. They made it into a really beautiful picture book too that we have, which is written by the poet Margarita Engel, and illustrated by Rafael Lopez. It's a very pretty book. Mm-hmm. Well, thanks for sharing the poem.
No problem.
So I've been reading up a storm lately. So I'm not sure how many books I'm going to talk about, but I'll at least talk about a couple. One that I just finished recently is called One of Us is Lying by Karen M. McManus. I believe this was her debut. Yeah. Her debut novel. And it's a contemporary realistic fiction mystery, sort of murder mystery book. And it's told from four different perspectives, I believe. But basically it all starts on a Monday afternoon when five students are brought into detention, all presumably for having cell phones in class, which they were not allowed to, and their teacher's a technophobe. They all claim that they were set up, that they didn't have their phones on them. But they're all in detention. There's Bronwyn, who's sort of like very smart girl, straight A student trying to get into Yale. There's the homecoming queen, Addie, who's very popular and beautiful. There's Nate, who's sort of the bad boy and is on probation for drug dealing. Cooper, who's an athlete. He's a baseball pitcher who's he has big dreams for himself, but his father maybe even has bigger dreams for him. And then Simon, who's the sort of outcast of the group, and he's the creator of a notorious gossip app at their school where everybody's dirty secrets are released. So they all enter detention on Monday afternoon, but Simon does not make it out alive. He has a allergic reaction after drinking some water that sends him to the hospital. Mysteriously, all of the EpiPens that could have saved him are missing. And so the kids that are in detention become the top suspects. And so there's an investigation going on, but at the same time, the teens that were in detention are also trying to figure out what happened to Simon, and dealing with the aftermath of that. And the day after Simon's murder, all of these secrets start coming out on a different website that's seemingly in the same name. So somebody's carrying on Simon's work and letting out all these secrets about each of the students that were in detention. And so they all seem to have motives for killing him because they had secrets that they didn't want to get out. So it's interesting reading because you read from all their perspectives and you're like, do I trust these people? I don't know. One of them might be a murderer. And it's fun trying to figure out what happened. Who did it?
Did the end surprise you?
There was a part of the end that surprised me. I was never 100% sure what had happened until I found out. But I had my main guess was at least partially right. but there were parts about the end that were different than I thought. So it was fun. It wasn't like the best book I've ever read in terms of the writing, but it kept me entertained, and I wasn't gonna like put it down until I found out who did it. So it was effective in that way. It's definitely like playing off of the old movie, The Breakfast Club. Have you ever seen that movie?
I heard of it, but
yeah, it's a book or a movie that's set in detention, where there's all these different kids that fit sort of different stereotypes. So the way that, you know, the cast of characters is laid out is very reminiscent of that. But aside from that, there's, as far as I remember, there's no murder in Breakfast Club. Oh. So that's fun. I've read a bunch of other books recently, and I'm reading two really good ones right now, but I'll talk about the ones that I've finished already. So I read another book called Girl Man's Up by M.E. Girard. And that's another contemporary realistic fiction. It's about a character named Pen, who identifies as a girl, but isn't, you know, your stereotypical girl. She's, you know, not into feminine things. She's friends with the boys. Like, she's one of the boys in terms of her friend group. And her friends mostly treat her that way, and other people do. A lot of people think she wants to be a boy, but she has no interest in that. But she is interested in girls. And so this story kind of follows her along in a year where she's having some changing dynamics with her guy friends and meeting some new girls, both a girl that she's interested in and girls that she cares about as friends. And then also dealing with family dynamics where her mom wants her to be like more of a girly girl, wants her to wear pretty dresses and go out with a nice boy. And so she's dealing with both the way she sees herself and sort of like who she's thinking about, who she wants to be friends with and what that means about her. And then also dealing with how other people see her. It was an interesting book. Her parents are also, or her family's of Portuguese descent, which is interesting. I don't feel like I've ever read a young adult book where the characters Portuguese, Canadian, actually, I believe. At one point in the book, I realized, I'm pretty sure this is set in Canada. So that was also interesting. So I feel like I often just read things as if they're set in America, unless I'm told otherwise. And this one, I think it was later on where somebody mentions Toronto or something, and I was like, oh, that's Canadian.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Was it very difficult for her to, like, you know how you said, like, there were so many things that you had to, like, how people were like seeing her, like mm-hmm. her mother and stuff. Was it very difficult for her to like go over that, or like did she always have like another person, like or another like idea that she can just like ignore it or something? Like,
yeah, I think it's difficult for her. She also at one point her brother moves out of the house, okay. and her brother is a big support for her. So they do manage to stay connected, but he's no longer her like support at home, okay. Because he's left. And then I felt like her friendships were very interesting, because as she's building these friendships with some of the girls in school, her friendships that have been like her lifelong friendships with these guys is sort of having some difficulties, for various reasons that I won't say in case someone wants to read it. But yeah, it was a really well-written book. You got a good sense of character and, very interesting. I also read a pretty short book recently that I had seen the movie for a few years ago and was like, I should check out the book and see what it's like comparatively, called Me and Earl and the Dying Girl, which is by Jesse Andrews. And it's about a young guy whose name I'm blanking on, who kind of tries to stay out of everybody's business. He's a little bit of a loner. Like, he knows everybody, but he's not in like any group, and he kind of does that as a way of like keeping himself out of trouble. His name's Greg. Sorry. And he has a good friend named Earl who lives from like in the tough part of town. But he and Earl connect in their love of movies. They're really into his dad's old movie collection, and they watch all these old movies, and then they sometimes recreate them. And at one point, there's a young woman that he was friends with as a kid who is diagnosed with leukemia. And his parents kind of send him over there to like hang out with her and be there for her. And so he and Rachel, who's the childhood friend, strike up a friendship. And so it's sort of about his sort of handling of her final days and her dying and opening up to somebody. I will say I liked the book, but and I'm not sure if it would have been different if I had read the book first and then seen the movie, but I would highly suggest the movie, and I would maybe suggest the book. It's one of the rare instances where I think the movie might be better than the book. But I think also with the film part of it, it really lends itself to being a movie, because mm-hmm. You get to see their reenactments, and they do some animations, and I don't know. It was a cool movie, mm-hmm. and a good book. But I wouldn't say it was a great book. What else have I been reading lately? Oh, I read a book called City of Saints and Thieves by Natalie C. Anderson, which is set in Kenya. The main character is a refugee from Congo named Tina, and she had moved to Kenya with her mother. The book kind of jumps you in before you learn any of that. You're jumping into the scene where Tina is breaking into this person's whole home to steal their data. She's working as part of this big team of people getting data from this wealthy person's home. But while doing that, she gets interrupted by the son of that man. And then we soon learn that he knows her and she knows him. And then sort of the background of the story comes out, where they had come as refugees and her mother had gotten work with the father, who she's now trying to steal data from. And her mother had been murdered. And so she is part of this team that is trying to steal information from him, but she's also trying to figure out what happened to her mother and eventually get revenge. So you're kind of thrown into this story where, you know, it's an interesting way to get into a story where you're just like, you're in the action right away, and then the story kind of develop or comes out through the adventure. So it was an interesting book. I don't know. I'm not used to books that are that, like, adventure, like, bam, bam, bam. See the story. But it was interesting. It was an interesting setting. Also, I haven't read that many young adult books set in Africa. There are others out there that exist, but I don't know. This one felt unique and interesting. And is there another one?
I didn't get the mm-hmm. reason why they needed data.
She was part of a group that was stealing data from this wealthy man to use against him.
Oh, and so to, okay.
Yeah, it was sort of to gain the upper hand on him for whatever reasons. I guess I could talk about one more quickly. This one I read a little bit longer ago, so I might share the backstory. But so it's Six of Crows by Leigh Bardugo, and it's the first in a series. And it is a sort of like adventure fantasy story, but set in a place called Ketterdam. I might just read the description of this one and then talk about it a little bit. So it says, Ketterdam, a bustling hub of international trade where anything can be had for the right price, and no one knows that better than criminal prodigy Kaz Brekker. Kaz is offered a chance at a deadly heist that could make him rich beyond his wildest dreams, but he can't pull it off alone. A convict with a thirst for revenge, a sharpshooter who can't walk away from a wager, a runaway with a privileged past, a spy known as the Wraith, a heartrender using her magic to survive the slums, a thief with a gift for unlikely escapes. Six dangerous outcasts, one impossible heist. Kaz's crew is the only thing that might stand between the world and destruction if they don't kill each other first. So it's a story where this sort of team of outcasts is brought together to pull off this heist, which is basically breaking into this sort of prison that is sort of impossible to break into. And then they both have to break into it, and then they have to break out. And both of those are seen as impossible, but he builds this team of folks to go in there. And they're all very interesting characters, and you get the story from different perspectives. And you sort of get some of their backstory through it, too, like how they came to be who they are and or in the situation that they're in. And that one was really great. I thought it was really fun. And I liked that. I feel like it's hard sometimes when it's like your characters are like these anti-heroes. And you have to write them just right for the reader to really buy into like wanting them to succeed and liking the characters. And I think she did a really good job of making you, you know, want to root for these like bad guys. And it was dark, but not like too dark, if that makes sense. It was fun. And the book is really cool. The packaging, I don't have it with me to show you, Fahim, but the edges of the papers are all black. So it just looks really cool. Every time I see it at the library, I'm like, ooh, very nice. But so yeah, I think someday I will read more in this series. I haven't dived back in yet because I'm reviewing tons of books for next year's battle right now, so I'm just reading without, you know, taking the time to dive back into the story again. Because I also read what's it called, Warcross, which has a new book coming out this month by Marie Lu, which is really great. So I'm hoping to read book two in that as well, but got a few more on my list first. Hooray. So that's where I'm at. Those are the books that I've been reading lately that I haven't had a chance to talk about on the show. But I have two more good ones for next week. So that'll be good. And hopefully you'll have a nice book for next week too. Yeah. Well, I know you're going back to school now. Yeah. but yeah, so we're just about out of time for today. I'm going to hand it off to the afternoon show. But we hope everyone has a good week. For those going back to school this week, both students and teachers, hope you have a good first week and survive the heat. And we hope everyone has a wonderful week, reads lots of great books.